All right. Hey, welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good afternoon. June 9th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Monday. I thought I would come upstairs, see if I could get some thoughts together, do a podcast. It's been a bit. I'm not sure exactly how many days, but I've been busy. Busy and, yeah, I don't know. I've tried to do it a couple times and just really haven't had the thoughts or whatever it is I'm trying to do. Just couldn't quite get it together. So I'd pause, right? Get to pause. But I just got back from a meeting. I thought I'd come upstairs. Part of the problem with me doing podcasts, I don't always have a lot to talk about. I can keep going over and over, but the reality is that my life's pretty damn good. And when it isn't, I fix it pretty quickly. And when I have to, I try to talk about it on the podcast. So that seems to be what this podcast has now become. Me fucking up, sharing how I fix it, and hopefully how the steps give me the path to do it. So, but yeah, I just went to a meeting, a Monday morning meeting. Well, it's a Monday noon meeting. I tried to, I've shared before, I go to a meeting on Mondays. If I can get to the noon meeting, I'd go to the noon meeting. If not, I will go to the one in the evening. But not a lot happening today, so I thought, actually, let's try to make the noon, and that way I don't have to, or get to, right, go to a meeting tonight, which tends to work out a little better as far as dinner and stuff like that goes. So, but yeah, it was a great meeting. I do enjoy this meeting. It's a literature meeting, reading out of the big book. And, yeah, it was a great story. Similar to a lot of the stories in the big book, and my reaction is always sort of similar. How do these people get so far in their life drinking like I drank, or how they drank, I suppose? But if they drank how I drank, then I know they drank a lot, and somehow pull a life together, right? You know, I was, when I finally came into this program, I had nothing, you know. When I came in the first time, I somehow scraped a little bit of a life together, gotten a wife and a job and a career and a house, and then proceeded to drink and lose it all. But, you know, I listen to these stories and these people that have wives and lives, and they stick with them, and, you know, clearly a different time back then. You know, I often wonder what my life would be like had my wife not walked out, right? Had she not had options, right? A lot of the people back in those days did not have options. You could walk out, but you were going to probably struggle, unfortunately. And so a lot of people stuck with it. You know, good or bad, I don't know. But, you know, my wife at the time had options, and she took them. And so I woke up to an empty house and, you know, continued to drink, really. But, you know, a couple weeks later, finally find my path back into the program and hopefully back on the path of recovery for the last time. And, but yeah, it's just, you know, the big book in that literature is always just, you know, very interesting.
Somebody else needs taking care of in Washington. Huh? Rose. Shut up! 36, 24, 36.
I got a little flat track with this time change!
Black book with my poems in. Got a bag, a toothbrush and a comb in. When I'm a good dog, they sometimes throw me a bone. I got elastic bands keeping my shoes on. Got those swollen hand blues. I got 13 channels of shit TV to choose from. I got electric light. I got second sight. I got amazing powers of observation. That is how I know. When I try to get through. On the telephone to you. There'll be nobody home.
Nobody Home, Pink Floyd, The Wall. What a freaking great album. Came out at the peak of my, really at the beginning of my interest in experimentation with drugs and alcohol, especially drugs. Definitely watched that movie a few times under the influence of something. But great movie. I actually saw that in the movie theater, believe it or not. Long old time ago, but great movie, great song. But yeah, man, I was sharing, I listened to the, we read, and then of course I eventually shared at the meeting. And, it's the story basically that we were reading was just talks about, the journey to get to that point and the struggle. And, when we, of course, got to the meeting, somebody read how it works. I don't know how many times, maybe three times, it says honesty in the first couple paragraphs. But turns out that is the key, right? Accountability, honesty, humility, right? Becoming aware. It has been a very, very long journey for me. And to get to this place where, and like I shared in the meeting, all this program really wants us to do is be very good people that care, right? Just to care. All of the things that I used to do back in the day. And, and I've shared many times, right? I didn't become an alcoholic until I came to this program. Up until that point, I just drank a lot and had a lot of fun. And if that incident wouldn't have happened the night that it did on March 31st, 1997, I may still be doing it, right? But, like, and I can only speak for me, but any sort of person in the spiritual state I was in, I was willing to give it a try, and I went along with it because it was good for me. It maybe was the off-ramp that I needed at the time. But once again, right, doing it for the wrong reason. Couldn't see that at the time, right? I can see it today. But at the time, I thought I was doing it for the right reason. And the right reasons being, so I can get a better job, so I can get a better woman, so I can get a better house, so I can make more money, so I can stop getting caught. And, and it kept me in the program for a while, right? But slowly but surely, it would start to erode. And I said something in the meeting. Somebody said something afterwards, and I don't know if it was a dig at me. I'm too stupid to realize that, but somebody came up to the meeting afterwards and was like, I appreciate you for sharing. And I was like, yeah, no problem. But then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, was she saying that because of what that guy said after what I said? But what I said, and it is funny, right? It is interesting. At this point in my life and this point in recovery, to me, it's all, angels and devils. And I know that sounds silly, but that's what it is, right? Every feeling, every thought, every worry, every joy is, there's a spirit behind it. And, when I'm early recovery and serving self, because not understanding that that is my issue, really, I thought I just drank a lot. Turns out I got caught a lot. But my true, real problem is self. And when I would choose to do the things that I would do, knowing, right, I think about my dad and this battle we had with marijuana. And he would drug test us and, and there would come a point where I'd maybe go a few days and then, the situation would arise where the opportunity to smoke some of that marijuana would show up and I would choose to, right? Knowing that I'm going to get a drug test, knowing that my dad didn't want me to do it, and knowing, right, that I was going to lie to my dad because I didn't care. I didn't care. All I cared about is what I wanted And at that time, in that state, in that spiritual place, that's what I wanted, and I didn't care. And, you know, today, right, and I shared this in the meeting, man. I haven't had a drink in a long time, right? The sign on the wall makes you think that this is an alcohol problem. And if that's what you think, so be it. But the reality is this is a decision-making problem. This is a spiritual imbalance, right? It's spiritual malady. This is not having God in my life. And turns out the God that I always thought I would want or search for or have is not the God that I have today, right? The God that I have today that reminds me when I make decisions, when I'm not being very thoughtful of other people's feelings. And, you know, of course I shared the story about, you know, what I went through a couple weeks ago with my buddy Jim and the things that I said. And, you know, immediately after I was just, there was a devil right there saying, let's stick with this. Let's hang in here. We got this. Fuck him. But that's not my life today. And the angels moved in and they started to talk to me and share, you know, remind me of what I'm doing. And by the third day, I couldn't call him fast enough. And that's for me, that's recovery, right? That's recovery. Yeah. Maybe I don't call him, right? Maybe I don't listen to that angel. Maybe I do listen to the devil. Maybe I do put my feet down and live with that. And then all of a sudden I'm avoiding him, right? And all of a sudden I'm maybe not going to a meeting that he's at, right? And maybe that gives me the green light to say that and behave that way to other people. And the next thing you know, maybe it's slow, right? I can throw a grenade on my recovery real quick, or I can, you know, slowly kill it. And doing things like that is what slowly kills recovery. And next thing you know, I'm popping off to somebody else. The next thing you know, my meetings that are available to me are shrinking. And then next thing you know, maybe I don't go to meetings. And then, of course, what happens? Maybe I drink, right? And so, you know, it's taken a long time to wind this up, right? We get a couple wraps on it. You know, it's like wrapping up yarn, right? You wrap it and wrap it, and all of a sudden you're like, shit, this isn't really wrapping. You got to unwrap it and rewrap it. And that's kind of how my recovery is. I get a few wraps on it, and I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't right. And so I got to unwrap it and wrap it the correct way. But eventually, you know, I end up with a pretty good ball. But it takes time. And unfortunately, and secretly, right, unaware of what's happening, it can unwind. And I shared in the meeting, you know, early, one of the things that I like about this meeting is one of the stories you read early on, and it talks about, you know, the six steps, right? And it says basically in early literature of this program, you either find God or you're not going to get sober. And that's pretty strong, right? Because most people, right, they don't care about the God part, right? They just want to get the heat off their back, just like me. And hopefully in that process of getting the heat off your back, we start to write, wrap and wrap and start to build some sort of recovery, start working towards serenity. But, you know, most people don't come in here looking for God. And if they are, like I was, it was a God to help fix things. And today it's really just a reminder of, you know, hey, we care. We don't live that life today. But that's what I said, people, I don't think people like to hear that, right? And this guy's like, no one speaks for AA. I'm going to speak for, I'm like, I thought he had a good share. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't directed towards me. He's one of these people that's like, I feel like we have an issue. I don't know. He's just kind of curmudgeon-y. And so I always make an effort to go over and say, hello, how are you? Shake his hand, ask him, see how he's doing. Because the devil's like, he don't like you. Don't talk to him, right? It's all devils, right? It's all of these spiritual entities, right? And, you know, I was saying in the meeting, you know, every feeling, good or bad, is a spirit for me, right? I don't care. Whatever you guys think is whatever you think, but that's how it is for me. And it seems like other spirits bring other spirits. It's just like life on the planet with humans, right? You know, you talk to some guy about something, looking for something, and he makes a phone call, and now we got two people coming up, and then all of a sudden we get a group, and then all of a sudden we're part of that. You know, the spirits to me are the same way. You know, if I'm going to behave in a negative way, more negative spirits will show up. If I want to stay positive, you know, more positive spirits will show up. And but to me, it's just a spiritual imbalance, right? I was possessed. I let the spirit in. I enjoyed the spirit. Right, I did not. I do not hate when I used to party. I had a lot of fun. You know, my biggest issue was drinking and driving, and the amount of alcohol that I drank. Right, it was just absurd. But man, there was a lot of good times in there. A lot of fun times. Obviously, a lot more bad times in the end. But you know, I got sober. When I got sober, it was the right time. You know, I shared in the meeting, I tried to get sober four times, three of them because I had to and one because I wanted to. And the one that is the one that seems at this point have stuck the longest. And I feel, right, more in touch with recovery. I feel more in touch with spirituality. You know, I was thinking earlier, you know, always wanting that spiritual awakening. Where's the spiritual awakening? When do I get the spiritual awakening? And I've had the spiritual awakening, and honestly, it's pretty, if I'm not going to do the things, well, you got to do the things that are right before the spiritual awakening is, I think, going to happen. You can't live a life in the negative. You know, you really, it starts with that third step. We just start making those better choices, right? And we do that long enough, and then when we make a bad choice and we feel it, that's God talking to me, at least. You know, God's not like, man, look how great you are. Look how wonderful. Oh, look, that was a wonderful thing you said. You know, I don't hear anything from God. But like I shared in the meeting, when I call somebody a motherfucker today, that's all I hear is freaking God. What'd you do that for? Why? You know, and that's where the real choices come into play. Do I want to, you know, continue hanging out with this crowd, the crowd that got me, you know, sort of influenced me to say it? Arrogance, inconvenience, or do I want to get back to the winning group? And, you know, I hung with the bad folks for a couple days, but by, you know, 3 days, I was like, I'm sorry, guys, I can't stay here. This ain't good. And, you know, back to the humble side and apologize. I screwed up. Please forgive me. And then a hard, hard, hard look at myself. And what is this? You know, and you know, I've shared in the podcast, and it's on my mind all the time now, this arrogance and how quickly it shows. And, you know, I'm walking this morning, I'm doing my run-walk thing, and I'm walking down the highway, and someone comes by driving down the road normally, right? But, you know, doesn't quite give me that much room. I mean, doesn't cross over into where I'm walking, but, like, you know, of course, there's part of me that's like, if you're coming down the road, you should... you know, go all the way into the other lane, you know, and give me respect, right? But, you know, the person driving, you know, they're going to doing their thing, and, you know, maybe it's close, and I'm like, you know, and all of a sudden, right, what's the inconvenience, right? I almost got run over, or, you know, I almost got run over. I did not almost get run over, but my brain's like, well, you could have been run over. And then, of course, right, there's the inconvenience. Arrogance shows up, and then I want to, like, you know, throw up my hands or something, and I'm like, it's that freaking basic, right? There's no mystery here. These are the situations that create the arrogance, and I want to get rid of them. And sometimes it's just me being aware and not reacting, right? Still pausing. It's an interesting thing, and I'm the other thing I was thinking about was, you know, I went to that meeting last week, and it was on the sixth step, and, you know, about character defects. And one of the things that somebody said, and it says it in the book, is we take back our comfort. And I believe I'm starting to realize that, you know, taking back my comfort, right, is part of the inconvenience, right? What's my comfort? You know, this is what I'm doing right at the moment is not uncomfortable, I guess. And when somebody does something, right, and inconvenience shows up and then arrogance comes out, that is a character defect, right? taking back my comfort. And I never really thought about it that way, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense, right? You know, as long as everything's going my way, as long as I'm comfortable, everything is fine. But when something shows up that I guess gives me a good reason to take back my comfort, right? To take back that moment, that allows inconvenience to show up, and then all of a sudden arrogance shows up. So it was interesting, you know, to read that. I do get it. It is taking back my comfort. I prefer to be comfortable all the time, and when things show up that change that, I get a little out of sorts, and it's something I'm working on. So I'm, you know, just keep working. That's the thing. I really don't have a lot going on, so I'm going to really try to push this podcast through. I had such a fucking rough May. I'm on my best behavior. I don't want any problems. I don't want to cause any trouble. I want to be humble. I want to be in recovery. I don't want to say anything stupid. All right, let's see. June 9th, living in the now. First, we tried living in the now just in order to stay sober, and it works. Once the idea has become a part of our thinking, we find that living in the 24-hour segments is an effective and satisfying way to handle many other matters as well. Living Sober, page 7. One day at a time to a newcomer, this and other one-liners of AA may seem ridiculous. The passwords of the AA fellowship can become lifelines in moments of stress. Each day can be like a rose unfurling according to the plan of a power greater than myself. My program should be planted in the right location, just as it will need to be groomed, nourished, and protected from disease. My planting will require patience and realizing that some flowers will be more perfect than others. Each stage of the petals unfolding can bring wonder and delight if I do not interfere or let my expectations override my acceptance, and this brings serenity. Yeah. I mean, are those angels, right? Patience. You know, that's kind of how I feel about things today. But yeah, I'm gonna cut this one short because I really just, like I said, I'm everything seems to be pretty freaking good right now, and you know, we're getting into summer. I did go paddling yesterday. I guess we could chat about that. I actually went paddling Wednesday. I don't know if I've even talked about that, but went paddling Wednesday. We did 13 miles out in the ocean, and it was freaking fantastic. It was beautiful. I was very, the last mile was the tough one. 12, I would have been fine, but that 13th mile really kicked my ass, and I felt like I was having a heat stroke after it was all done. I had to crawl under this ramp and get out of the sun and just cool down, and once I took a few minutes, I started to feel a little bit better, but man, that was great. And then I was like, I'm cool. I'm not going to paddle for a while. A couple paddles coming up. And my son paddled on Thursday, which was great, but he wasn't as big of a fan of it as I was, and I don't know. We'll see how that goes. You know, I had expectations of him and really enjoying it, and I can tell you, I've probably taken 9 different people out paddling, probably 7 of those in recovery, and none of them paddle. So I might just be insane for enjoying the sport that I do love, but he wasn't a huge fan, but he tried it. We'll see. We'll try to get him back out there. But after the paddle on Wednesday, I was like, I probably am not going to paddle for like a couple weeks because the 2 paddling things that I had signed up for, one was full, and the other one was this one I was trying to rearrange my schedule so that I could do it. And I forgot to block it out, and like 4 different people booked online. So I told my coach, I go, I can't do it. I've got, and you know, I've had probably since Memorial Day, it's been slow. My business has been slow. I mean, I'm hanging in there, but you know, I've got a busy week this week, which is good. And then I'm busy next week. And so I'm in really no position to be turning down clients. So I had to pass, but my coach texted me Saturday and he's like, hey, you want to paddle tomorrow? And I was like, I guess. And so I said, yeah. And so we paddled yesterday. Ugh, worst conditions ever. Wind, waves, fog. It was brutal. It was not cold, but it was definitely, it was rough. And we did 9 miles, and it was just getting beat up the whole time. But it's cool. You know, I did it. Didn't hate it. It was just, you know, it's like life, man. Sometimes the conditions aren't great. You just got to show up and keep paddling. And we did that. So, but yeah, like I said, everything's been pretty cool, man. Not a lot to complain about. So, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone is having a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye.
Got a silver spoon on a chain. Got a grand piano to prop up my mortal remains. I got wild staring eyes. And I got a strong urge to fly. Boots, and I got faded.